Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion.
You're listening to Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
Oh yeah, it's time for Fashion. Morena Penny.
Morena, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You've been to the ballet. Are you feeling cultured?
Dracula on the weekend.
Uh-huh.
Oh, epic.
Which was at the Civic. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was really good. But I get this thing where when I'm watching ballet, when the dancers are on point, I'm in my mind, all I'm thinking is ouchie. So I'm going,
yeah.
Ouchie, ouchie,
yeah,
ouchie,
yeah,
ouchie.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I can imagine Dracula would have like quite a tortured feel to it already, regardless.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was it was based on Dracula. So it had some mm-hmm. elements that were true to Bram Stoker's Dracula, but it was mm-hmm. definitely their interpretation.
Cool.
But it was really good. And yeah, they had different dancers from different companies. So mm-hmm. it was kind of a mixture that had been brought together. And they were performing to a lot of different famous songs, so it wasn't kind of specifically written for Dracula.
Oh,
and so yeah, it was really cool. So you'd just be going, oh my god, I know this song or this piece, cool. I should say, when it's classical.
So yeah. It was like a greatest hits comp.
yes.
Vaguely Dracula themed things to it. That sounds like my dream, in all honesty.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. And like what I do love about the ballet too is that when people attend the ballet, like the opera, people dress up. So there's lots of sequins and furs and not that I'm into furs, and pearl necklaces and things like that. And I love that, you know, because like once upon a time, everyone danced up to go, like dressed up to go to town. And yeah, for some reason that still happens when it's the ballet or opera, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like rooted in that beautiful tradition. I personally love it. I think we should dress up fancy for more things. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. I think like tiaras, that sort of thing, that would be pretty cool.
As long as I like to make little tiara. Yeah. What else could you do?
A fascinator, maybe.
Oh, a fascinator? Oh, okay. Wowee. Anything silk is a real hit for me.
Definitely. So after going to the ballet, that made me, of course, think about the point shoes and about how they came to be. And, of course, I wanted to find out a bit about ballet. And it originated in the Italian Renaissance courts in the 15th and 16th century.
Wow.
The word ballet comes from the Italian word ballere, which means to dance.
Mm-hmm.
And when Catherine de Medici of Italy married the French king Henry II, she took that to court life, and of course it became, you know, the dance of the aristocracy. And King Louis XIV helped popularize it. He was an avid dancer himself. Like when you go to Versailles, you see big pictures of him in his tights, which are pretty funny. I shouldn't say funny, but you know, it just looks unusual.
Love a man in tights.
Yeah, well, just because at that time too, you know, people were very modest. And so when you see him in kind of like full-length tights, you go, oh, wow, that looks different when he's got his massive wig on and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, right. Totally.
The first dance academy opened in Paris in 1661. And by 1681, the ballet was no longer being performed in courts. It was like, it was to the stage, which was cool.
Mm.
And the evolution of the modern ballet shoe or the point shoe is kind of a gradual evolution. And ballet is is very traditional. And so any change can be quite controversial. So ballet shows were performed in heels until about the 1730s when a woman called Marie Camargo removed the heel to allow for more movement.
Wow.
I just can't imagine performing ballet in heels.
I know. I had to stand around in heels for about 2 hours yesterday, and that was enough for me. I wasn't even doing anything.
You didn't do any pirouettes or anything?
No, I wouldn't even try it.
Oh, my God. I would love to see you trying that. That would be great.
Yeah, I would pay good money to watch that,
yep.
Actually.
Okay, all right. Name your price, I'll do it.
Yeah. So she kind of, you know, created the first kind of flat design, but they were still very soft shoes. And this guy called Charles Didelot invented a flying machine. I had never known this about this at all, which was the precursor to point shoes, because it allowed ballerinas to be hoisted up with wires, so it looked like they were dancing on their toes, because it was seen as more elegant and that sort of thing. So they were still wearing their soft slipper shoes, but yeah, being hoisted up by wires and flying around the stage. And then with the introduction of the romantic ballets like Giselle and Swan Lake and the Sleeping Beauty and things like that, and you know, women were seen as being more fragile, it was about the spiritual world, that sort of thing. So ballerinas were kind of then trying to actually dance on their toes. There was a dancer called Marie Taglioni who strengthened her slippers by darning the points. But Anna Pavlova, who was probably one of the most famous you know, dancers, she added hardened leather sole shanks to support the arch of her high arched feet, and that flattened the toe, which created what's called the box, and that became the standard for modern point shoes. And so now, like, there's, like, I thought there was wood in them, but it's not, it's like a hardened paper with glue.
That's a lot softer than I thought it would be. For some reason, I thought it was concrete.
Because you've got to be able to move in it. And the other thing I found out that I didn't know, and I mean, I did ballet as a child, but I don't remember any of this. But of course, I wouldn't have had point shoes then. I just would have had slippers. Is that there's no left and right shoe. They're all made identically.
Well, that's not right. And
then they adapt to your foot. And dancers are, like, really they have to break their shoes in, so when they get them they kind of cut out the inside sole shank. They'll add super strong glue to the point area on the inside to harden them. They'll scrape the sole so they don't slip. And there's one like place in London called Fried that still makes them, and they custom the shoes to certain dancers, and the makers allocated a certain number of dancers around the world, and they only make their shoes. So they will have maybe 600 dancers per maker, and that's all they do. And they're churning out sort of like anywhere between 28 and 34 pairs of shoes a day, and they're handmade, apart from the stitching. And if you look at New York City Ballet, the dancers there go through about 7,000 point shoes a year. And the company's shoe cost is over $1 million.
Whoa. It's so much money. They sound like the most admin shoes to break in.
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, the videos of ballerinas on, you know, TikTok and whatnot, and they actually have to seriously beat up these shoes to break them in.
Yeah, it's crazy. And like, a lot of people, you know, a lot of dancers, a lot of ballet companies are still like, they want to stay in that tradition. But there's a company called Gaynor Midden in New York who has looked, who has started kind of looking into things like scuba fabric and lots of different kind of products that, so the shoes can last longer. And they've got these kind of specific kind of foam in there that kind of are more flexible, so they don't have to cut them up and that sort of thing. And there, you can go there and get them custom made as well.
That sounds good, because you know, you do think about the sustainability of it all when you hear about that many shoes.
Yeah, well, I guess the Gaynor Midden one are using synthetic fabrics though, so it's kind of like, even though you might use them a little bit less, like, what happens to them when, you know, because that won't break down, whereas like the real ones are all kind of like leather and paper and satin, you know. So it's kind of quite an interesting thing. I mean, if you're like me and you like random facts and you just want to look things up, it's kind of quite fascinating to look at. And there's a cool video on YouTube called Why a Ballet Team Spends $1 million a Year on Shoes, and it's on YouTube. It's about 25 minutes long. It's just really interesting. It goes through the whole story.
Oh, fascinating. This sounds like a fun rabbit hole to fall down.
Yeah, I think so. It's I just like am so fascinated because when you see dancers on, you know, on point, you're thinking they're standing on their toes, but they're not standing on their toes, are they? They're standing on the very tips of their toes that are slightly bent, you know, and then on that hard point and just, you know, and then they're dancing around like that and then leaping up in the air and then landing on their heels, and they normally have extremely high arches, so it just, the pain must be incredible.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's a bit torturous or something, isn't it?
That's made me feel lucky that the worst foot pain I have to go through is
I'm very grateful for my sneakers right now.
Yeah, breaking in a pair. Yeah,
they're extreme athletes, and you think about how much, you know, like basketball players and things like that, they get all their shoes adapted so that they can be, you know, premium at their game, and that's about comfort. And these dancers are just like, there's still no way to kind of like take that pain away, really.
Wow. Oh my gosh, that's very fascinating. Thank you so much, Penny.
No problem.
Oh, we'd so interesting. That. I've particularly enjoyed, Millie, this classical bed music that you've chosen for us. So thank you. I feel like I could just close my eyes and be at the ballet looking at painful shoes.
I'll tell you what, I listened to a lot of classical music growing up. In fact, it was probably genre number one. And what I used to do is put on the ballet and imagine what they'd be doing. Kept me entertained for longer than it should have.
That's great.
It does make you, after you leave the ballet, you do want to kind of leap around the place. Like, you know, you just want to get home.
Did you go home and practice your pliés and such, Penny?
Yeah, I did kind of leap around a bit, you know. just kind of like, you know, one from one side of the room to the other. Just, you know, putting things away, but leaping as I did it, you know.
Yeah. I think it's always so inspiring to see that much kind of like art and, you know, extreme athleticism and culture all in one place and one show. It's just gorgeous. Love the ballet.
And just like all the steps and everything and how everything is so precise. And that's why they raised the tutu height from being kind of mid-calf upwards so that everyone could see the movement and the legs.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a whole nother corridor, isn't it? Tutus.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll save that for another week. Yes. Thank you so much, Penny.
Thank you, Penny. Always fascinating
to hear from you.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
I want to leap around now. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.